Ecclesiastes simply means speaker before an assembly. And here in the later life of Solomon, he expresses himself. He identifies himself, he says in verse 1, the words of the preacher. He's the speaker before the assembly. Then he is recognized as the son of David and, of course, the king in Jerusalem. And he says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All right, we've got a problem there. And he says, all is vanity. So Solomon declares that all things are vanity. Now, what does that mean to us? We look at that, and we're not used to that expression. It simply means that you come to a point where you come in your spirit and you say, there just doesn't seem to be any use. Life seems to be meaningless. And that's what happens when we live for ourselves and live for our flesh. We come to the end of ourselves, and life is not full, life is not rich. Solomon was a man who was wise. Solomon was a man who pleased the Lord, but you know he went astray, went into worshiping the stray gods of his wives, many wives and concubines. Yet, he's talking about his life, and he's saying nothing seems to really matter. Nothing, you know, what's the point of things? It sounds like Solomon was disappointed with his life. And it's important that we learn how to handle disappointments of life so that we'll not become disappointment with life. Life is hard, and it rains on the just and the unjust. And I think that sometimes we get this concept that because we love God and we serve God and we walk with God, that we're untouchable and nothing sad or sorrowful or disappointing will happen in our life. That's not true. And if you read through the scriptures, you'll see the Apostle Paul at the end, he didn't get a trophy, he lost his head. You'll see in Hebrews the number of Christians who were sawn asunder that has been said this world was not worthy of them. So we need to understand that disappointments will come and will go. Now, this several reasons why I feel led to preach on this. One reason is there are people who have real disappointment. I mean, real sorrow, a strong difficulty. There are some who grow up in a family that a dog shouldn't have that kind of a life. Now, we know people that are that way. And they can share the heartache and the misery and the disappointment of their life and the kind of mother that they had, the kind of father that they had, the kind of childhood that they had. But you listen to me. If you wallow in that pity and that sorrow, it will destroy you. It will absolutely destroy you. And as a young person or as an adult, you may get some attention from people. Oh, bless her heart. Oh, pity his little heart. Oh, that's such a horrible thing. That's such a terrible, what a tragic story. Listen, there are multitudes that have lived that way. But if we begin to respond to the attention that we get because of pity, that pity will eventually destroy us. Are you with me? You see, disappointment is going to come and go. Life is full of disappointments, and sometimes they're huge disappointments. They're life-changing disappointments. We will have to live with this disappointment. There's no fixing it. There's no changing it. There's no altering it. It's a huge thing, but then there are little nagging things that seem to plague us on a regular basis, little nagging things that aren't anything to really make a fuss about, but it disappoints us. It's a problem for us, small things like that. And it robs us of our joy. And perhaps this morning you're experiencing some few or some type of disappointments in your life. Listen, it's important for us. And I want you to consider how to deal with the disappointments of life so that you won't become disappointed with life. Now, I believe as long as there's life, there's always hope. And there are people who become so despondent that they take their life. I wouldn't care to work on some kind of a life phone type situation where they despondent people call. But I've had perfect strangers walk in my office and say, I'm weary of life and I wish I could end it. Not too many years ago, I was out and I saw this young lady, and I went up to her and I gave her one of our church brochures and a gospel tract, and I told her that the brochure will tell her how she can know she's going to heaven and can introduce her to Jesus, and she has the opportunity to read it. I wish that she'd read it. And months had passed by, and on a Wednesday night, she walked into our church, and she said, "Have you got a minute for me to talk with you?" It was right before the evening service, the Wednesday night service, and I went in my office and sat with her and talked with her, and she says, "I've been going through everything in my apartment, and I've got everything sorted where I want it, and I have everything designated, and I was going through one last drawer, and I came across this piece of paper that you gave me some months ago, but I'm weary of life, and I'm planning on taking my life tonight, but I remember the kindness that you showed to me, and I wanted to thank you for this, and I wanted to return it." Now, I couldn't let her leave my office, and I had to call the police, and we had to go together to the hospital and to Pathways. There are people who become so despondent, they're so discouraged, they're so disappointed with life. And if you don't understand how to handle the disappointments of life, you will soon become disappointed with life. Now, notice three thoughts this morning. First of all, disappointments are a fact of life. When we get up in the morning, there's going to be some type of disappointments. And think about the best situations in life and see if this isn't true. Maybe you've purchased a car, and it's the car that you've always wanted, and you've wanted it for a long time, and now that you've gotten it, it's become a disappointment to you. Maybe you're building or you're buying your dream home, and you've carefully planned it out, but now you've moved in, and all the things that you were so excited about, that's not there anymore, and there's some great disappointments that are there. Maybe you've gotten a job or a new job or a promotion, and some things were promised you or suggested to you, and you've gotten there, and that has not been the situation at all in that promotion or that new job, and you're disappointed with it. The point is that even on the best days of life, there are some things that are lacking. Disappointments is a fact of life. And sometimes disappointments come because, the conditions are seldom ever the best. We know this to be true. Your boss is never satisfied with you, or perhaps you're the boss, and you just got employees that just can't rise to the point that they need to rise to. Your friend that's been friends for years has betrayed you. You've struggled to get on the same page with your spouse, and there's this constant rip that's there, and you're desperately trying to have that affection, love, and relationship, but you just can't seem to get on page. Everywhere you look, there's a big gap between what ought to be and what is. The gap is the cause of disappointment. This is what ought to be, but this is what is. We want what ought to be, but what ought to be cannot be now because something happened, and because of that, we have to deal with what is. It is what it is, and we're disappointed, and we're going to live on the island of disappointment because of it. Let me tell you this. We got to quit looking and viewing things through our eyes and look at things through God's perspectives. You see, everywhere you look, there's this gap between what ought to be and what is, and it causes disappointment. People, our kids used to say, "That's not fair. That's not fair." And I used to tell them, "Fair comes to town once a year." And just joke with them. But I want to tell you this, life is not fair. And we're not 10, and we need to understand that. Your family may be falling apart no matter how hard you try, no matter how much you try to endear yourself to that husband or to reach those children, it just doesn't seem to go. Your company that you've been with for some years now is closing up and closing the doors, and you've got to find something else to do. You've received some results from the doctor. He tells you he wants to see you in his office. He'd rather not discuss these things on the phone. That's never good. And these things are disappointing, but you try to figure it out, but life just isn't fair. Disappointments are a fact of life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, the preacher says in verse 11 and 12, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to be swift, nor the battle to be strong, neither yet bread to be bread to the wise, nor yet riches to man of understanding, nor yet favor to man of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. In other words, just because you may be strong, or just because you may be quick and swift, or just because you may be wise, or just because you may have great understanding, or just because you're a person of great skill, tell you something, life doesn't respect any of that. Life can be a point of time and chance that happens to us all. Now, there are some of us who want to try to define things, and they did that in the Bible. When Jesus came and he healed the blind man, his disciples asked him, wasn't the Pharisees and wasn't the Sadducees, his disciples says, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, he was blind from birth for the glory of God, for him to be healed on this day. And there are some times that we look at things and we can't understand why this happens. You know, and I've come a long time ago, many years ago. Listen, if someone has the chastening of God on them, they know that. We don't know that. I don't want to be a Job's comforter and say, you know, you're not right with God. All of a sudden, you've got to have heart surgery, or you've got a ruptured appendix, or you've got cancer. You know, this pastor has never come to your house or to your bed or to your hospital room and say, you know, you're not right with God. You may not be right with God, but I'm telling you, that's between you and God, and we just need to try to comfort you. There's been many who's been put in a hospital bed because of the chastening of God. Would you say amen on that? I know that for a fact. But we're not to choose and we're not to judge in those things. But Solomon says, but time and chance happeneth to them all. It doesn't matter if you're swift or strong, if you're wise or if you're rich, or if you're a man of understanding or a man of skill, things happen to us all. Verse 12, for man also knoweth not his time. As the fish that are taken in the evil net, or as a bird that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Life is just not there. Secondly, disappointments. Disappointments in dealing with our pain. There are those who are suffering greatly with pain because of disappointment. There are some things that you may be here, you may say, you know, I don't ask for much. This is all that I wanted. It wasn't something selfish. It wasn't something that was wrong, or that was sinful, or that was hurtful, that were harmful. It was noble. It was honorable. It was even biblical, but it didn't happen. Disappointments and dealing with its pain. Some choose to deny their pain. There are those who just pretend that everything's fine and they just don't want to think about it. Let me just put it out of my mind. And I don't think that's a bad thing, but we can't live there. There's sometimes you have to put some things out of your mind for a bit. But you've got to come back to it and you have to deal with it. Don't think about the gap between what ought to be and what is. Think about, through the grace of God, what can be. You see, Paul talks about learning how to deal with disappointments and not how to deny them. In Philippians 4, verse 11, the Bible says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, I'll tell you something. You can't beat a man who has that philosophy. He has come to a conclusion that whatever situation, circumstance, whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. So some try to choose, they just deny the pain, and they just avoid the situation. They try to drown it out. Then there's others who try to ease the pain. They don't deny it, but they ease it. They try to drown their pain in pleasurable activities. They think that life is so hard, and they deserve some type of relief. And because of that, they'll engage in some things that will cause them to escape the moment of pain and sorrow and disappointment. The reality of this, though, is a miserable life where it just causes you greater disappointment in the end. You know, you cannot drug yourself, whether it's prescription drugs or whatever it might be. You cannot drink yourself. You cannot put yourself in a chemical straitjacket to try to help you with these things. We have to not deny them, and we cannot try to ease them. We have to look at them and deal with them. I met a lady years ago, and she told me that she had lived a very wicked and evil life, and she had gone through shock therapy. Now, I don't know a whole lot about this, but what she tells me, they literally put electrodes on her, and they shock her till she is numb in her brain, and she cannot remember these things. My heart broke for her. She wasn't right. She had a difficult life, and I wanted to just tell her the blood of Jesus washes away all those things, and it doesn't shock at all. You see, there are those who try to ease the pain. They will only lead to further heartaches and disappointments. And then there's some, if they don't choose to deny the pain, if they don't choose to try to ease the pain through the pharmacy or some other means or area, there are those who blame their pain on someone else. There are those who are disappointed, and so they plan to take it out on someone else. Now, I want to tell you this. Human psychology always blames somebody else. You go, you're going to go and you're going to talk to Dr. So-and-so, and he's going to say, lay on my couch and listen to me, and you'll come out there hating your parents. You know, you didn't get skates when you were 5. You didn't get piano lessons when you were 10. You get braces when you were 7. And it's all your parents' fault. Can I tell you this? My parents failed in many areas. And I want to tell you this. As a parent, I have failed in many areas. But we are what we are by the grace of God. And we can blame our mother. We can blame our father. And these folks, if they don't choose to deny their pain, they don't choose to ease their pain, they choose to blame their pain on someone else. They are disappointed, so they plan to take it out on somebody else. They become bitter towards a person or towards people around them. And eventually their bitterness spreads to God. Disappointments in dealing with our pain. Lastly, let me say there's disappointments that must drive us to the Lord Jesus. We must allow our sorrows and our disappointments to drive us to the Heavenly Father. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." See, we've got to take our burdens to the Lord. He's the only one who can comfort us. Verse 4, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." You see, somewhere along the line, we learn to run to somebody to get help in our sorrow and trouble. When we're children, God has given us the divine authority of a mom and dad, and God has put them there for our watch care, and we are to run to them. And we're sick in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're sick, and we wake up as a small child. We cry for mama. And mom comes, and she's the nurturer. She's the loving one. She's the soft hand, and she's the concerning one. If we're afraid and we're not sure we can do it, we have that father who says, "You can do it, and I'll help you do it, and I'll show you how." And we have that confidence from dad. But somewhere along the line in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we got to stop looking at people in flesh, people with skin on, and we can't throw money at it to fix it. And we've got to come to the God of all comfort and say, "God, I rest in your hands, and I rest this disappointment with you. You take it, and you manifest yourself in it in a powerful way." You see, we all must keep our focus on Jesus. Hebrews was written to some very disappointed believers. And the writers of Hebrews challenges them to keep their focus and their attention on the Lord Jesus. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, That means these who have already died and gone on to heaven, they're spectators. They're watching us run our race. Let us lay aside every weight. Those are things that hinder us. They're not necessarily wrong, but if they hinder us from running our race, we need to get rid of them. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know what that is. If we want help, we've got to lay aside the weights, and we certainly have to put away sin that will beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, understand this. When we got saved, we were put in a race. Now, some of us are put in a 50-yard dash. Some of us are put into a 100-yard dash. Some of us may be into a 440 run. Some of us may be in a cross-country run. And we're not accountable to how anyone else runs their race. We're accountable for how we run our race. But let me tell you this. You have to pace yourself in a race. You can't burn up all your energy in the first, 20 yards because you're done. You've got to learn how to be patient, and you've got to pace yourself. And it's true in our race and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have the wind knocked out of you, but you're not finished. You're not done. And here, the writer of Hebrews challenges us to be careful how we run our race. He says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's finished and he's set down. And we have a race to run. And the disappointments of life can hinder us from running that race. We should understand that our focus must be on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we need to understand that we will never be satisfied this side of heaven. Do you know that? We'll never be satisfied. This world can whisper to us and tell us it's going to fulfill us, it's going to satisfy us, but it lies every time. It never follows through. And there are some things that we can get excited about, and there's some things that we can get delighted about, and they're not bad things. If you buy a new car, you buy a new home, you get a new job, you get a pay raise, there's something that's in your hobby that you love and you get to do, that's fine, but those things are temporary. They're not eternal. And the gap between what ought to be and what is will not be complete until that day that we see Jesus face to face. Well, this ought to be, but this is what is. And it's not until we see Jesus face to face that that will be settled. So you can go through life with a pooch mouth, and you can go through life like you're sucking on persimmons, and you can go through life being mean and nasty and ugly and disappointed and feel like that you're the special case, that you get to be bitter and you get to do that. But I'll tell you this, you're going to make yourself miserable and you're going to end up hating your own life. Imagine a world without sad disappointments. Revelation 7, verse 16 and 17 says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat. Look at verse 17. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. This is heaven. It's the place where disappointments will be no more. We need to learn to live our life with eternity in sight. So I think what happens is we get real comfortable and we get settled here. But I want to tell you this, we're not here very long. We can go home early through medical or accident, car accident, storm, or Jesus can come at any time. But we get focused on this. and I want this way. Are you with me? I want this way, and it's got to be this way, and it's got to be just like this, and I got to have it like this, and I got to have it like this, and I want it this way, and I want it this way, and I like it this way, and I like it this way. And because I serve God and read the Bible and I pray and I give my tithes and offerings and I sow in and I'm faithful in church and I'm there for preaching conference and missions conference and revival, and I don't eat, I don't smoke, drink, and chew. I don't run around with those dudes, and therefore, because of that, all this ought to be just like this, like I want it. But I want to tell you this, it don't always ever work out like this. But God can take the broken pieces and still do something great. How? How can he do that? He's God. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he'll do it if you'll have faith that let him do it. We have to come to the point to live our life with eternity in sight. This is how Paul could be content in whatever state he was in. He knew that he was not here for long. He knew that life here is temporary. And that doesn't mean that we need to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. But we must not allow the natural pull of this world to blur our vision of eternity. You understand that? All that we hold dear to us is going to be burned and left behind. Only our relationship with Christ is what's going to matter. Say, well, man, I just bought a new car. Well, good, enjoy it for 12 years, maybe. Well, I just built a new house. Good, enjoy it for 50 years, maybe. Or 65 years. Good. I hope you can enjoy it, but I want to tell you, it's all temporal. It doesn't mean anything. Well, I want to have the cottage down or the cabin on the lake. I want the big, savings. And I want to tell you, none of those things are going to matter anything. And we need to not focus on things. We need to focus on Christ. There's that old song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Problem is, we've gotten very, very homey in this world. And this world is broken, and we're full of disappointment. We're full of despondency because this is our agenda. This is our focus, and it's not working out that way, and it's driving us nuts. There are a lot of disappointments in this life, but we can find comfort from the promises of God's word. Jesus said that he came to give abundant life. I want to tell you here, if you know Jesus, you've got abundant life now. You go out there and you look at people who don't have him and you see the life that they have. You see, Christians need to know how to handle the disappointments of life. Let your disappointments drive you to the source of comfort, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort. Let them remind us that all of this is temporary. And when we come to that point, our skepticism and our despair will melt away as we look at life through God's perspective and view life as a daily gift of God. We have today. Are you listening to me? Life is a gift from God. We can't have yesterday back, and we're not guaranteed tomorrow. But today is a gift. And enjoy it and live in liberty and freedom in it, because we're not guaranteed of anything else. Stop being this person who, because of the disappointments in life, you're disappointed with life. And start living again by focusing in the God of all comfort, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if I need that message or somebody out there needs it. But I want to tell you this, all this stuff right here doesn't matter. Focus on him. Stand with me, would you please? This is not to make light of your burden and your sorrow. This is not to be excuse the great pain that you feel. Well, preacher, if you knew what happened to me, or if you knew what I've been through, if you knew my circumstances, if you knew my situation, you wouldn't take it so lightly. I don't take it lightly, and I don't take mine lightly either. But I don't want to wallow in it. I want to get above the clouds, and the way we do that is by focusing on the God of all comfort and looking at things from God's perspective. Life here is a drop in the bucket. Eternal life is out there. And when we see him face to face, all the tears will be washed from our eyes, and we shall be as he is. And we need today to resume our life with joy and power and the abundancy that God has promised us. Father, help us meet our needs. Thank you for our church and our church family. Lord, I know of several in my family and in our church family that are suffering with great disappointment. And Lord, you don't want us to be disappointed with life. And we need to bring our disappointments of life to you and leave them with you and ask you to help. In thy name I pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me just talk with you for just a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know that I'm saved, but I struggle with some heartache and disappointment. Would you raise your hand? Raise it up. Yeah. Absolutely. It's life. That son, that daughter, that husband, that wife, that employer, that circumstance, that situation that you and God know about. Are you going to allow it to destroy who you are and what you were? Or can you bring it to God and trust him with it? Can you just lay it in his arms and say, God, I don't want to be disappointed with life, so I bring these disappointments of life to you. Don't enjoy getting attention through others because of pity. That will destroy you. People will become weary of that. Bring your heartaches to the Lord and leave them with him. Father, help us now. And I pray that we'll find saints taking that huge disappointment, that heartache, and even those little nagging things and lay it on the altar this morning. Would you come right now with your disappointment? Right now, you come and bring it to God.